Blog Talk Radio.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Yes, indeed, this is the most intriguing broadcast in America, and I am your host, Tom Farinella. Welcome to the Tom Farinella Show right here at blogtalkradio.com. Phone lines are open. You have the number if you want. Use it. Anyway, so much to talk about. Where do we begin?
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have, for generations, taken it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth, and put it in the atmosphere, and it's making us all sick. It's changing our world.
Yes. Yes, it's changing our world. I think it's been changing our world since the discovery of the fossil fuel, wouldn't you say? You think civilization would have advanced without the fossil fuel? I don't know. You tell me. You think we would have had a shot at survival, maximizing the human experience that God wants us to maximize? See, this all bottom line does come down to God. Because it comes down to whether or not you believe God wanted us to be able to become advanced enough to have a mind and a brain in order to live life to the fullest, of course, with him in mind. Now, the problem is most people don't keep him in mind. Oh, you can't say that, though. That's not what's destroying the world. People's lack of faith in God and religion and being God-like or walking in the path of God, that's not destroying the world. Global warming is destroying the world. These people out of their minds, don't answer that because you know they are. Gets to the point of just sheer lunacy. It does get to the point of sheer lunacy.
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have, for generations, taken it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth, and put it in the atmosphere, and it's making us all sick. It's changing our world. I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have, for generations, taken it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth, and put it in the atmosphere. And it's making us all sick. It's changing our world.
Three. And now, Tom Farinella.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Yes, indeed, I am Tom Farinella. Welcome to the most intriguing podcast in America. It is summer, isn't it? And I think Harry Reid's already feeling the heat wave from global warming that have not yet come. Well, there they have, and we just don't know it. If you just tuned in, blogtalkradio.com, the Tom Farinella radio program, it's great to have you aboard. Phone lines are open, 347-326-9037, and what a statement of statements. Just when you think it cannot get any more fun with this Democratic Party, we have Harry Reid with the statement of the year. Can we hear that one more time? I know if you've listened to the pre-show, you got some. You heard the real live warm-ups, because if you tune in sometimes to a half hour early, I'm already on, and I give you the pre-Tom warm-up, and we were just testing the soundbite. But now let's listen to the soundbite one more time.
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have, for generations, taken it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth, and put it in the atmosphere, and it's making us all sick. It's
Duh.
Changing our world.
Duh. Duh. Sick. The only thing that's sick is him. So does this mean that he walks everywhere he goes? Or he uses carbon or devices that do not emit carbon emissions? How does he get around? How does this wacko get around? I'm sure he drives to and from wherever he's going in Washington, D.C. when he's in the nation's capital. And then when he's back home in Nevada, I'm sure he doesn't propel on his wings across the country to Nevada. He must get back to Nevada somehow. Whether it be via a car, whether it be via a plane, train, automobile, we already said car, but how does Harry Reid travel? He's the only thing, only one that's sick. He's sick in the head. It's too darn easy, I know. But at what point will America wake up and see that these people are whacked? They're out of their mind. They're insane. They're trying to feed us some nonsense about global warming. For what? So they can profit off of it. Al Gore has profited off of it. These new companies that are going to offer carbon credits will profit off of it. Everybody in the world will profit off of the newfound global warming. Let's make everybody feel guilty for using fossil fuels. Lord have mercy. I'll tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. I live, eat, and sleep in the city of New York. That's right, New York, New York, where some say it all starts, begins, and ends, and begins, and everything else. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't see a lack of people driving. There's still gridlock in New York. There are still people driving in their cars in New York City. Yes, indeed, there is. I'm there every day. This gas price thing, people will pay $20 a gallon to drive. You want to blame the gas speculators. You want to blame the oil companies. How about you blame the consumer who allows the product to go out of control in price because they can't control how they use the product. Once again, a politician's answer to a simple problem is let's get the government to convince everybody that we're living in a carbon toxic environment. The world has become toxic. The only thing that's toxic is what's spewing out of Harry Reid's mouth. That's the only thing that's toxic. That's the only thing that's dangerous. That's the only thing that's killing us is his, because I'll tell you one thing, he expects us all to live by this environmentally rich way of life. Let's see how he lives. Oh, I'm a senator. I'm a very important senator. And I'm a House, I mean the Senate Majority Leader. And I have to be in the Senate, and I have to be in my home district. So it's essential for me to be an optimal carbon user. I can play this clip all day long for one reason. Because the man is insane. He's lost his sense of reality.
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel.
In New York, toxic environment. The world has become toxic. The only thing that's toxic is what's spewing out of Harry Reid's mouth. That's the only thing that's toxic. That's the only thing that's dangerous. That's the only thing that's killing us is his, because I'll tell you one thing, he expects us all to live by this environmentally rich way of life. Let's see how he lives. Oh, I'm a senator. I'm a very important senator. And I'm the House, I mean the Senate Majority Leader. And I have to be in the Senate, and I have to be in my home district. So it's essential for me to be an optimal carbon user. I can play this clip all day long for one reason, because the man is insane. He's lost his sense of reality.
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have, for generations, taken it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth, and put it in the atmosphere. And it's making us all sick. It's changing our world.
Ah, you know, the number one producer of carbon. Does anybody know? I'll give you a guess. Set the call right now, 347-326-9037. Call the Tom Farinella Show. If you're just joining us, the Tom Farinella Radio Program right here at blogtalkradio.com. We are just discussing the rational, clear-headed statement of the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. This guy kooked? Really? What in God's name? Is he smoking? He's the one who said we can't win the war in Iraq. Have you ever heard, you know, the thing about it is optimism. Do we ever hear about American optimism? We hear about how Obama's new his definition of patriotism. Now, I got to listen to a definition of patriotism from Barack Hussein Obama, who won't allow people to question him about his past. He won't answer questions about where he comes from. He avoids anything that is somewhat remotely taxing on his pristine image. At what point do you just say it's all full of garbage? It's crap of the highest order. Junk. These people aren't doing anything. They're not doing anything. If Harry Reid was so damn concerned about carbon emission and everything else and prices of oil and all this other BS, he would bring the Anwar vote up for an up or down vote to drill in Anwar. He won't do it. The Democrats won't do it because the more independent Americans become where they don't need government to tell them that the oil prices need to be lower, the less that the government is stuck in our lives, the less need we have for guys like Harry Reid. I am so sick of these politics. I am sick of them. They nauseate me to the umpteenth power. What do they do for us? But demagogue about depressing things all the time. God, have you ever heard of any? He's so sullen and so serious.
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have, for generations, taken it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth, and put it in the atmosphere, and it's making us all sick. It's changing our world.
Give us an alternative, Harry. You be the first guy to stop using fossil fuel. You be the first one. And I'll follow. You'll walk home to Nevada after your session's over and you have to return to the district once Congress goes into recess each legislative session. How do you recommend getting around, Harry Reid? I mean, is this guy not a moron? Really, truly. I mean, God forgive me. I don't like insulting people, but it's hard not to. He's a putz. And I'm cracking here, and I'm blowing my top, and I'm just passionate about the fact how moronic he sounds. For the love of God, I could spend the next hour just going on about how ridiculous his statement is. We have to stop relying on fossil fuel because it's making us sick, global warming, and all this other bull. It's junk. What they're saying is junk. It doesn't matter. Do anybody realize that? Or is it just me? I mean, it seems so, just so out there, you know? It just seems so beyond the pale that a politician would get on television and say something so stupid. But they do. They really do. They really go out there and make these asinine comments and think that we're all supposed to sit back and not say anything. Oh, how brilliant he is. He's looking into the future. One more time. I mean, this, you can't make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up if you tried.
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have, for generations, taken it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth,
yes,
and put it in the atmosphere.
No, you know who the biggest producer of carbon is, Harry? The ocean. What planet does this guy come from? He's in Mars. Mars, Venus, somewhere. He's been taken over. He's definitely been kidnapped by aliens, and things have been done to him. I don't know what. But real things have been done to him. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, never mind the circus. This guy is out of his mind. He's really, it goes beyond the circus. What in God's name, where do we go from here with that? It's not impossible. Just not, there's just nothing else to be said. The guy's a dope.
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have, for generations, taken it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth, and put it in the atmosphere. It's making us all sick. It's changing our world.
I mean, have you ever in your life heard of anything so stupid?
I would only add to what was just said about solar. We talk about cost competitiveness, but the one thing we fail to talk about is those costs that you don't see on the bottom line. That is, coal makes us sick. Oil makes us sick. It's global warming. It's ruining our country. It's ruining our world. We've got to stop using fossil fuel. We have,
okay,
for generations, taking it out of the earth, carbon out of the earth, and put it in the atmosphere, and it's making us all sick. It's changing our world.
Superb. Super duper. What a bozo. What a bozo.
And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
Someone has to be around here. Maya, why we know Harry Reid is. And hello, everybody, if you just joined us, the Tom Farinella Show, right here at blogtalkradio.com. We're chatting away as well. It's very hard to chat. It's very hard to chat and talk at the same time, but I'm trying to. I do have one of the chatters is asking if I have anything else. I do have a couple of other things. Starbucks, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, Starbucks closing 600 stores in the United States. Uh-oh. Starbucks closing 600 underperforming stores. I didn't think that was possible. That was an oxymoron. Underperforming and Starbucks. I mean, they only charge $12 for a cup of coffee these days. I mean, they had to give it away, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, hold on. Wait a second. You mean the high coffee thing isn't working anymore? Whoa! Americans finally caught on. There you go. See, that's what happens when people stop consuming a product that is expensive. Eventually, it forces the person who's offering the product to either stop offering the product or reduce offering the product, or like they did, create a new line of the product, which is a dollar cup of coffee or whatever Starbucks is offering. I mean, that's a perfect example of how Americans should handle the gas crisis. Don't drive for a week, ladies and gentlemen. After all, our Harry Reid, our divine voice of reason, has said it's killing us. So if we all start walking, we will be healthy and we'll be environmentally sound. How do you like that? I'm going to run on that platform. Tom Farinella is going to run for president on the walk, don't drive platform, because you're not only being healthy, you're being environmentally conscious. Wow. Obama who? Yeah, just like I got my reason says in the chat, I bet Harry Reid drinks Starbucks coffee. I wouldn't be surprised if Starbucks coffee is in his office. Absolutely. So Starbucks Corp has announced it's closing 600 underperforming stores in the U.S. The Seattle-based premium coffee company also announced Tuesday expects to open far fewer than 200 new company-operated stores in the United States in the fiscal year of 2009. The company says it will try to place workers from closed stores into remaining Starbucks because, watch out, you're going to suffer the backlash from Congress because you can't afford these workers anymore. They're going to pass a bill that says you've got to pay these people. You dare employ them. You dare make money in the market. We're going to take your profits, Starbucks, and give them to the people you had to fire. That's my next issue in my platform. I'm going to take all the profits from Starbucks, and give it back to the people who spent all their money on the $3 coffee. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to Apple, and I'm going to take all of Apple's profits because they dare release an iPhone for $6.99, and then they had the ingenious to come out 3 months later, throw you back $100 and charge $4.99. And then a year later, they had even the better genius to say, we have a better product, we've redone the product, and now it's going to be only $2.99. How dare they? And you see where we're going with this? The government cannot control everything. And don't think John McCain's going to be any better. John McCain offers us no... no resolution to these issues. One day he's for something, the next day he's against it. Now I have to appeal to the conservative base. Blah, blah, blah. It's all a bunch of bull. Do you understand? These people make $250,000 a year as senators. Hillary Clinton, when she released her financials and her tax papers, she made $1.1 million over the course of 5 years in the United States Senate. Wow. $1 million for each senator every 6 years? Do you understand that the average United States senator is a millionaire? Their earnings per year are $2 million or more. In the United States House of Representatives, it's in excess of $700,000 a year. Do these people need to be paid? I've been saying this. This is another platform. If we have really taken these people to task, On their profound passion to be public servants, then why don't we take their salary, donate it back to the budget, and let them work for free? Let's see how passionate they are to be public servants. Lord knows New York City police officers can't get a salary increase. Mayor Bloomberg's chintzing them as far as they go because he thinks everything should be run like a corporation. You want to talk about havoc? Look at what this guy has done in New York City. New York City is a good example. Mayor Giuliani, say what you will about him. The subways were clean. The streets had police officers, and you felt safe to be out there. Now, I was just in the subway because I'm an evil driver. I'm a gas-guzzling consumer of gas. And I can't believe how dirty and disgusting they are. He doesn't care about those things. The MTA has gone to hell. They go and have strikes in the days before Christmas. You know, paid for the labor law violations, the Taylor law that they violated in New York City, the workers. And how these workers, these ingenious workers, vote back Roger Toussaint, the guy who brought them to strike, and now is the reason why their paycheck is being deducted. They reelected them. So what do you want? Yes, I got my reasons. Apple did refund people, but they gave them $100 back on who knows how much. But still, ingenious stuff. We're living in a time when everything is out of control. The world is just devouring every resource. Do you know that when I was in London, England in 2001, their gas, first of all, is sold by the liter, okay? Which means that if you take a half of a bottle of soda, of a 2-liter bottle of soda, that would be 1 liter, that's how much gas they are buying per increment. That's their increment. They're on the... They're out of the metric system like us. What's the other system called? Maybe I got reasons. Knows why. I can't chat and talk at the same time. But anyhow, it was $4 and 4.5 pounds per liter. First of all, a liter is much smaller than a gallon. That's probably why we're on the metric system, because we at least figured out that we can get more for our buck. Second, at that time, it was 4.5 pounds. So it was 1 pound equaled $1.50 in American dollars. So do the math. It was extraordinary for Europe back then. And they were buying much smaller increments at a time. We've managed to keep things under control. But people have become so dependent on their cars. I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in New York City with my car, and I half the time I can't move. Between that and all the construction that this ingenious Mayor Bloomberg decided to do, he's building upon buildings, and there's no more room. I mean, if Manhattan wasn't going to sink before Bloomberg came into office, it certainly is now because they're so darn heavy. I mean, you know, everything is just out of whack. And so how, what do we do? Okay, so we look at this guy named Obama, who says nothing. He, too, is mired in all kinds of scandal. He has a reverend that's his spiritual advisor for the last 20 years, but he never heard any of his anti-American, anti-white eulogies or speeches, whatever you want to call them. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the middle of an identity crisis in America, and we don't have anybody to save us. You know, at least during the 60s, John Kennedy came along and seemed like he did something. Even Richard Nixon, although he was impeached, or almost impeached, sorry, he had resigned, he wasn't impeached. We only hold that distinct honor to Andrew Johnson and, oh, that's right, Bill Clinton. But nevertheless, sermon, thank you. But nevertheless, Richard Nixon did open the door to China. Actually, Richard Nixon was the first environmentally conscious politician, and a Republican at that. Can you believe it? He created the Environmental Protection Agency. Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? Richard Milhouse Nixon, the most evil guy in the world. He created the EPA and about six other government things and started expanding government. He was another blue rock. Blue blood Rockefeller Republican. So at the end of the day, I there is no rhyme or reason. We're in a crisis. We have no leadership in the House. Nancy Pelosi couldn't find her way out of a paper bag. Harry Reid, we just heard his lunacy. George W. Bush is lame duck. And the two guys running, you know, they go back and forth on the positions based upon, you know, what seems right. I don't know. Do any of you out there have solutions? Give us a call, 347-326-9037, because I'm out of them. And I lived in Washington for 7 long years. I lived there. I went to school there. I got my education there. I love Washington, D.C. I am the iconic political junkie. I love it. But lately, I'm so bored with it all because it's becoming the same old thing. It's trash and burn politics. And then you got a guy like Obama who thinks he's fooling everybody. The only person he's fooling is himself at this point because he has no real platform. He has no real agenda except to raise taxes on those evil rich people. Oh, wait, isn't he rich? It's just a joke. Isn't he part of the elite? Yes. And we and you're not going to get good politicians running anymore because everything is just you tarred and feathered. You know, if you cut a line back in 1987, the person comes out and sells the story. It's national headlines. And then, you know, they're on every news network, MSNBC, CBS, Seoul, you know, serious news people interviewing. Isn't it true that, you know, the man running for president, he cut you in 1987? Yes. And it's used against them or her. Well, the Democrats threw Hillary right under the bus. They threw Hillary Clinton right under the bus. That was it. The Democrats didn't have time for her. They wanted this new guy. And if you don't think that Barack Obama has somebody serious with some real authority backing him, boy, oh boy, then you're living in a cloud. Because for him to be Hillary, it took a lot. Now, in more important news, because I can't stomach this discussion. Oh wait, first the Dems at the DNC protesters, they're gonna be behind a fence. Isn't that nice? The fence around the public demonstration zone outside the DNC convention will be chicken wire or chain link, authorities revealed in the U.S. District Court today. That may allow protesters to be seen and heard by delegates going in and out of the Pepsi Center during the convention. But the American Civil Liberties Union, yes, whenever in doubt, don't worry, the ACLU will be there to bail you out. And several advocacy groups have filed an amended complaint to their lawsuit against the U.S. Secret Service and the city and county of Denver that says protesters and demonstrators may have their First Amendment rights violated by security restrictions, whatever. So there you go. Democrats are violating their own people's First Amendment rights. There you go. There you go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, this is I Got My Reasons. How are you today?
Good. How are you? I Got My Reasons.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Hey, just on the protester thing, I think the people that protest at the Democratic convention are probably Republicans. So you might want to reconsider your opinion on that, because basically the Civil Liberties Union is protecting. Protecting all the pro Iraq war people that want to surround the convention, just like what we did with the Republican convention in New York City.
Yeah, I would think that that's probably the case. But the pictures that I'm seeing here on the Denver Post, it says end the occupation of Iraq, Democrats for peace and justice. So I don't know.
Well, they may have used a stock photograph of somebody protesting or whatever, but it...
No, there's a guy who's getting himself, his chicken wire ready, it looks like. He's locked and low. Oh, this is Boston. This was the guy who was in Boston.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just... Even so, but isn't the Democratic Party the party of free ideas?
Well, yeah, I don't think it's... I mean, this has been a problem. I think it's the cities. I mean, this has been a problem... Been a problem in New York, as I'm sure you know, as a fellow New Yorker. A lot of people were arrested for no good reason during the Republican National Convention here. So I think it's really it's not coming from the Democrats. It's coming from the city. The city is
But don't you think that Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, these eloquent you know, fighters of truth and liberty in a democratic way should step in here and say this isn't right?
Well, I think they're probably confident that the situation will be resolved. I mean, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. I mean, the same thing they successfully did the same thing in Boston during the last Democratic convention. They had like a free speech zone or something like that, which is totally not how it's supposed to be, which was like a fence, you know, a long way away from the convention. That the primarily Republican, I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of protesters show up at these things, but the bottom line is they were all like so far away from the place that it didn't really have any effect. You know, it's not really how, and they do that every time. And let's be honest, they do that every time George Bush travels anywhere. They keep the pro.
Except Africa. They didn't have any protesters in Africa.
Oh, really?
Well, he was honored. He was applauded.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I know. I mean, but I'm saying, you know, when he travels to places like Europe and stuff like that, where, you know,
where he's the evil emperor, right?
Well, people, no, it's not a question of him being evil. It's that Europeans are like 90% against the Iraq war, as are now about 75% of Americans. So it's not a question of anybody demonizing Bush. It's just a question of a political, you know.
But at this point, I think the Iraq war is an issue under the bridge. I mean, now at this point is what can we do to ensure that the country remains stabilized rather than I have a cousin who just came back from Iraq, mm-hmm. and we just had a party for him a couple of Saturdays ago.
Cool.
And he said it's incredibly promising that what's going on over. I had a caller who called up here and said what's going on over there isn't being reported, and that you know that the troops are just scratching their head why politicians are taking pop shots at them, and the truth of how much control is being gained over there and how much the country's being given back to the Iraqis isn't being reported. And that, you know, that's the problem I was talking about. You know,
again, I don't think that's true. I mean, unless you're not reading the New York Times,
everything's
in there. You know, I mean, all of it, everything that you just said is all.
Yeah, have you ever heard the old adage, you don't believe everything you read in the newspaper?
Well, if the newspaper is telling me that the violence has been reduced and that bomb attacks against American convoys are reduced, can I believe that or just the stuff that you want?
Well, they won't. They will never report that.
No,
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
It's very simple. I just said that all the information that I just described, I've read in the pages of the New York Times. Okay, so the New York Times gives you a very comprehensive assessment of the situation in Iraq. You may not like its editorial page, but that's the bottom line. I know all about all that stuff from reading that paper.
I should ignore direct testimony from two guys who are actually
you're not listening to me. Your friend's direct testimony aligns with what I have read in the Times. Which part of that don't you understand?
Yeah, but the Times also
agree.
But okay. a portion of the Times for a very long time denied that there was progress.
It denied there was progress when progress wasn't happening. Now let me go
back.
What
pages do those stories appear on?
A front page. Usually, there's usually a front page story that goes to a Section 8 story, international story about. There's probably three or four stories about the Iraq war each day in the paper, consistently.
If that's the case, then good for the Times because. From what I'm hearing, the same thing is going on there. I guess you can believe what they say, but I can tell you that.
But here's the problem. I mean, the problem is that the military success that they're enjoying right now is not gonna solve the problem long term. That's another discussion. But the political situation is a mess, and while the military situation will help somewhat. A stable, you know, a country where things aren't blowing up everywhere will help that somewhat. It's not enough to – basically, the Iraqi people don't want one country. They don't want a unified Iraq. So as long as the Iraqi people don't want that, it's going to be very difficult to force it on them. Do you understand?
Yeah, but they will at least have the choice. They will
their choice has always been division.
No, well –
Yeah.
Well,
Kurdistan.
There are many problems all over the country. Yes, you're right. There's no question that there are sharp divisions within. But I think they're much more apt to figure out to live together peacefully than they were under Saddam, who was what, a Sunni or a Shia. I don't know what his sect was, but whatever
Sunni.
His sect was, yeah, he was a Sunni. Control and.
But he wasn't a religious. He was a secular. He was a secular dictator. He wasn't a religious man.
Right, but the guy still did kill a lot of people, and hurt a lot of people. So hopefully the next elected leader, freely elected leader of Iraq, won't be a dictator who likes to kill people who disagree with him. I think that's a stride in the right direction.
The only thing that can hold together a country of basically three separate nations that don't want to be held together. Is a dictator. I mean, I hate to bust your bubble on that, but that's the reality. The safest,
well, you know what?
The safest part of Iraq is Kurdistan, and Kurdistan doesn't even fly the Iraqi flag. They're a de facto. They drop the, Iraqi Kurdistan. They drop the Iraqi part in their official parties where they're inviting American diplomats. The Iraqi army can't travel into Kurdistan without getting permission from the Kurdistani government. That's the safest part of Kurdistan,
but
it's also
Kurdistan,
the most pro-American.
Right,
okay?
But Kurdistan also is represented in the Iraqi parliament, are they not?
Yeah, but what they're trying to do and what they're doing symbolically by not flying the Iraqi flag and all that stuff is they want a separate country. They want Kurdistan to be its own country. And in effect, that's
right.
Where the constitutional government is leaning. They're leaning into separate autonomous states. So
well,
they
because it's getting to the point that the Sunnis and the Shia obviously are going to continue killing each other. I mean, what's going on over there is nothing new.
No, it isn't. But the problem with American foreign policy is that we went in there completely ignoring that stuff.
There's one reason why we went in there. And everybody wants to forget it, and everybody wants to blow smoke over it and say it's no big deal. But Saddam Hussein had to do one simple thing. Allow the United Nations inspectors to come in. How many resolutions do you want the United Nations to pass before people say that the organization is really a joke? I mean, we went through 12 different resolutions where we tried to peacefully say, Saddam, if you want to be a peace-loving country, a free country like you are, then you have to show what you have. And he refused to do it. And even so, he was even given another out by saying, we'll allow you to go somewhere else.
Right.
We'll let you stay alive and go away. But it all got the better of him. And what you don't hear is the pictures that were shown shortly thereafter of all of the weapons that were being moved into Turkey. So the problem we have, or Iran, or wherever they were going, but they went somewhere, okay? And we have a very big problem over there. My biggest problem with that region right now is Ahmadinejad telling us all how the Jews should be killed. And that's my problem. Because, you know, Israel is a very good ally of ours, and we need to defend Israel, and we need to be there for them. And this guy doesn't think that Israel should be there. I mean,
this goes to the core of the issue because that's okay. That's unpleasant rhetoric. It's bad. Nobody's going to say it's a good thing. But like, if he doesn't have the means to make good on his slurs, and what do we just invade anyway? I mean, it makes no sense. Preemptive war. Do you know what the Powell Doctrine is?
Why don't you enlighten us on the Powell Doctrine?
Okay, the Powell Doctrine is Colin Powell's doctrine of how to fight a modern war. And basically, you don't go into a country unless you don't invade unless you have overwhelming force to win, and that you have an effective reconstruction plan. That's basically the short.
And you're prepared to take the country over.
Yeah, and that you have the manpower to do it. And we failed in Iraq.
And where did he get that doctrine from?
His past experiences as a general.
He got it from President Bush 41 because he was the one who said that if once we liberate Kuwait, if we go into Iraq and take out Saddam, we're going to have to be responsible for them.
Right.
And they basically ignored that. Right. I don't know if you recall, but during the first year or so, during the Bush's first term, you remember that there was no presence of his dad, and there were very under,
right.
You know, very quiet rumors that him and his dad really didn't talk.
Right.
And the reason is because his dad disagreed with him. And he
yeah,
said,
well,
Don't do
as
it.
Well he should. I mean, it was an unnecessary invasion, and it's sad that we have spent this much money and this much, you know, human life to accomplish this little, you know, it's really sad.
Right. And perhaps looking back in retrospect, we could see things with a 20/20 eye, and you may be very right. But at the end of the day, people like me who have family members over there,
right?
We have 150,000 U.S. troops on the ground. Enough is enough. We're not going to refight the war. We're trying to get it resolved to the point where we can get a stable peace, at least to start bringing troops home. That's what the support has to be, to ensure that the troops are able to stabilize the country as best as possible and start a very slight withdrawal, not a massive withdrawal, not a withdrawal based upon timetables, but a withdrawal that is reasonable and that will lead to the safe, first of all, to our troops being able to exit safely,
right.
And second of all, that it won't cave in. So
you basically just described Barack Obama's platform.
Oh, but
Iraq war.
Please.
So you
no,
did.
Barack Obama.
Did. That's what he wants.
Listen, if you think that Barack Obama, let me ask you a question. Wasn't Cindy Sheehan and the Democrats when they took over supposed to cut the funding and get all the troops home? Once Nancy Pelosi, forgive me, Cindy Sheehan's challenging Nancy Pelosi, but once Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats gained control of Congress, they promised that they would bring troops home and more or less stop this war. Have you heard from them on it?
I think
promises undelivered. All they had to do was pass a resolution stopping funding, same way they ended
Vietnam.
They
tried to do it, but it was.
They didn't try that.
Yes, they did.
Not Nancy Pelosi nor Harry Reid nor any other significant Democrat, Murtha or the rest of them, ever went on the record and said that they would agree to stop funding because they were afraid. They wouldn't stand by their beliefs and their passions.
Okay, you may be right about that, but I personally don't have any real love for the Democrats in Congress right now for that same reason. I mean,
you and 85% of the country, because you thought George Bush had a bad approval rating. They're like 13%.
No, they're not lower than Bush, trust me. But I mean,
no, they are. The Congress is a 13% approval rating. Bush is at least in the 30s.
Well, I think they have been. They have been sort of hamstrung by the past Congress and by this president. I mean, this president will basically veto anything he doesn't.
But that's you're wrong about that, because the Congress can cut off the spending right away. If they don't sign the budget and they can stop the spending in a heartbeat. That's the way they got it.
No, you're right. I mean, I don't see these, I see them as waiting far too long for like the approval of their constituencies or something like that. And that's the problem with the whole war. I mean,
well, that's the irony of this whole story I read about the protesters, because most of it is going to be a code pink and moveon.org, because they're dissatisfied with the way the Democrats have run their ship for the last couple of years. And speaking of such, Cindy Sheehan herself is running against Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, she's got to have Texas real fast. But listen, I have less than a minute left. Thank you very much
okay.
for calling in.
Sure,
hopefully we'll
thanks.
Hear from you again. All
okay.
right? You, it's great to disagree, but we
can
do it here with fun and
– And now, here's Tom Farinella.
All right.
Sorry
Take
about
care,
that.
Dude. Bye.
Yes, thank you.
You are.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's about it. We're out of time here. Thank you very much to our friend who called in. I got my reasons, and the reasons are good. So this is the Tom Farinella Radio Show right here at blogtalkradio.com. If you enjoyed the show as much as I have, then you can tune in tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, and hopefully we'll keep I Got My Reasons as a listener, because we like to have good dissent, because – ladies and gentlemen, we will not learn anything if we are closed-minded and we do not speak out against, speak our opinions. But you have to also have an open mind, because that's how you learn. And they'll teach you that in school. I think my education really taught me how to open my mind. But nevertheless, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Show right here at blogtalkradio.com. This is indeed the most intriguing broadcast in America where you can get the right to rant. And ladies and gentlemen, always remember, if you don't speak up, you'll never be heard. Have a good night.
Blog Talk Radio. This broadcast will begin just after this brief message.
Are you without health insurance? Then you should know about Qualified Health, the nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of your current health condition. You save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, and prescriptions. To sign up or learn more, call Qualified Health now at 800-919-6788. That's 800-919-6788. Call Qualified Health now at 800-919-6788.
Blog Talk Radio.
You will respect my daughter. You will respect my daughter. You will respect my daughter.
On BTL.
You will respect my daughter.
Catch us.
You will respect my daughter.
You
will respect my daughter.
Catch us before you can.
You are such a mom.
Blog Talk Radio.
And now, Tom Farinella. And now, back to Tom Farinella. And now, here's Tom Farinella.